What a special program today. As part of our ongoing heritage series of the Upper Cumberlands, today we have Paula Stover, an expert. In the short time, Paula, I've gotten to know you. What an expert historian and keeper of the records of what's going on. With us from Overton County Heritage Museum, Livingston. So hello, Paula, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, good. As I mentioned to you off air, you might have thought I was kidding. We take the Billy Graham approach here with this show, and we'd like to know a little bit more about who are you, where'd you come from, where are you going, and what meaning, purpose, you go up through elementary school, and don't spend a lot of time in high school, but let's get to know you as a one of our leaders in our region and in our history expert.
I was born during World War II. My dad was a soldier.
Yeah.
And most people my age were born at home.
Yes.
That was common. But yes. Old Cookeville City Hospital.
Is that right?
Sat back behind Terry Brothers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in that building now. But
okay.
Anyway, I was born in Cookeville City Hospital.
Yeah.
Still have a little beaded bracelet that they put on me when I was born. And my dad was stationed in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, when they contacted him that I had been born, they let him come home for a few days. But then he had to go back out there. And my mom, she was afraid to live in their house by herself. So she mostly lived with my grandparents, but we moved from household to household. We'd live
sure.
with aunts and uncles, and I was everybody's baby. I was passed around till I was about 6 weeks old, and mama and my dad's dad, my grandfather, got on the train in Allgood. And with me, I was 6 weeks old baby. Mama had an old brown suitcase. And it took 3 days and three nights for that train to get us to Oklahoma.
Wow.
Where Daddy was.
Wow.
Because they stopped at every little pig patch.
Oh, sure.
Like
a bus. Like, yes. The old bus services. So.
And it was full of soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no seats. Mama said a soldier would offer her their seat sometimes, but she felt like that they needed it more than she did. So she spent 3 days and three nights sitting on that brown suitcase holding a baby.
Wow. Now you're a several generation Overton Countyan, Livingston, Upper Cumberland. So you want to share that a little bit, how far back y'all go and what you,
yes.
you know?
Grew up and still live on your family farm.
Oh, that's great.
And I am the fifth generation there. We live on it. It's a Tennessee Century farm.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great-grandson who's the eighth generation.
That is
that owned,
y'all
that
gonna
owned
stay here for a while.
We're gonna be here for a while.
That is wonderful. So you're born, you took a little bus trip to Oklahoma, and talk a little
train
bit about
trip. It was a
train trip. Yeah.
And when I got out there, they didn't have a baby bed, bassinet, or anything
sure.
for me to sleep in, so I slept in the dresser drawer. They just took one out.
Oh, that's great. That's
padded
great.
It, and that was my bed while we were there. And we stayed until I was maybe 3 months old, and they finally shipped them out. They went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back home on the train.
On the train again,
on
yeah.
On the train back home. And stayed, we'd go to one set of grandparents for a few weeks and another set a few weeks,
oh.
and aunt and her uncles. And so, yeah,
special
my older
times.
Cousins helped raise me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So let's talk about that. You're born, you took a little trip a little early, you're back, mm-hmm. and now, growing up in Livingston, Overton County.
Overton County, closer to Rickman. We're in the lower end
oh, sure.
of Overton County.
Sure.
Of course, live on a farm, and after Daddy came back, Daddy was a carpenter, and he was the main carpenter for Air Church, Dodson Chapel Church. That's
Dodson,
out next
sure,
to Air,
sure.
Air Farm, and he helped build that. That was the third building that we'd had there in that church. And of course, that's where we've always gone to church, and I'm
mm-hmm.
still active in the church. So, But we had a working farm, and we hauled hay, and we hauled manure, and we cleaned out chicken houses, and mm-hmm. we raised great. Chickens and
sure.
Cattle and sheep. We had just a good flock of sheep at that time.
Wow.
And we played all over the farm. And
oh.
Both of us, I had a sister, and we were tomboys. We
yeah, sure.
Grew up gathering. When you gathered a whole field full of corn, and I'm talking about several acres, 10, 12, 15 acres, and you gathered it all by hand,
yeah.
You knew how to farm.
So you had a rich, looking back.
I we mean, did. We think we I had mean, a great childhood.
A rich childhood, mm-hmm. blessed. A Walton's, if you would, type childhood.
We think we did.
That's great.
Somebody said a few years ago, a lady that had moved here, and she was watching my sister and me interact with each other, and she said, "We all seem to get along so well, and you seem to have had so much fun when you was kids." And we said, "We didn't have any other choice. We were the only ones, and we didn't have kids that lived really close to us." And
sure,
so
sure.
We feel like we were lucky we got to grow up on the farm. And two or three years after Daddy got out of service, he used his GI Bill.
Sure.
Went to Tennessee Tech.
Okay.
Graduated in 1953, and he was a school teacher at Rickman until he retired.
Boy.
He taught chemistry, biology, the sciences, and
just think of the number of families and people that y'all touched. Your dad
yes.
touched as a teacher.
And he had students that visited him yeah, all his yeah. life that lived in other states, and when they'd come back here, they usually made a stop.
That's great. That
to
is.
Visit with him, because he was their favorite teacher. That's what they all said.
Yeah. So now we got you on through. You're on the farm. You're going through school. You're going through school.
Yes.
And let's pick up there and talk about your journey.
I went to school at Rickman School.
Okay.
In May, before I started school in 1950,
mm-hmm.
The school in Rickman burned. It just burned to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started school first grade that fall, we started in the old Methodist church there. First and second grade was there.
Mm-hmm.
Third, fourth grade, and fifth grade maybe was at Netherland Church. And they just parceled us all out. Some of the classes were held in school buses. Some of them were in the old gym.
Yeah.
Until we finally got a school.
Found a way to get it done.
Didn't have bathrooms. Didn't have water for the first 2 years. So we used the outhouses.
I understand.
And had to get our drinking water from a bucket.
Yeah.
But
you made it.
We made it.
Sure.
My mother and dad both graduated from Rickman High School.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and me both graduated from Rickman High School. And I had we had two daughters, and they both graduated from Rickman High School. But they closed the high school in 1985.
I see.
Consolidated.
Yeah,
With Livingston.
How was that during that? I imagine, when a change in generational.
Was, and it got a little ugly sometimes.
Well, sure,
there was a
sure.
lot of hard feelings. We didn't get in on any of that. Didn't go to the meetings or anything because our kids were out of school.
Sure, sure.
And so we skipped a lot of that controversy.
Okay.
And didn't get in on that. But yes, it hurts a town to lose their high school.
Oh.
The town just there's just nothing there anymore.
You think of the
there's
church,
a post office, and that's all that's
the
there
church,
anymore.
The church, the high school, the
stores, everything.
There's only a few things that holds you together.
And
that's
it.
The school system is, the church is probably the biggest one.
Yes.
So you moved on to What's the next step?
I was a cheerleader in high school.
Okay.
I was a cheerleader my last 2 years. Tried basketball. I was mediocre at that. I'm not aggressive enough, I guess, to play basketball. But cheerleading is what I enjoyed, so I did that the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my heir parents they just expected us to go to college.
Oh,
that
sure.
was what they wanted. But
of course,
they always knew that they was going to have to push me a little if I did. And of course, then by the time I graduated from high school, I wanted to get married instead of go to college.
Well, that was very normal.
So the next year, okay. I was married, and we had two daughters.
Okay,
and when the girls were 5, 6 years old, I guess. We built a house on the farm there and still live on
that
great farm that I grew up on.
Makes me want to go out to the farm. I mean,
yes.
No, it's such a it Americana.
Is. And we've got a beautiful farm. It's just, it's flat and there's woods all around the
working farm
edge.
Still.
It,
I mean,
we don't have cattle anymore and we don't work the farm anymore, but we keep it rented. Right now, it's planted, all of it's planted in soybeans. It's usually in corn.
Yeah, yeah. So you've had a rich,
I think I
rich,
have.
And we're down to about a minute in the first part. But when we come back, we just pick up, do whatever you want to do. But anything else you want to share during those years, or looking back, history and anything?
Rickman School was kind of a small school. And you, from kindergarten through 12, most all students in the school knew each other.
Like sure.
Everybody knew each other's names, and the older kids would look out for the little kids, and the little kids looked up to the bigger kids.
Oh, yeah.
And we all feel like that. Well, of course, we were related to a lot of kids that were in school, but we felt like we were just cousins. We're close.
You've had a heck of a good foundation. And when we come back here in a few next session, we're going to pick right up and go there. A major historian in the Upper Cumberland, very knowledgeable, Paula Stover. We just spent the first segment talking about who you are, Paula, and growing up. Now we're going to just pick up where we left off. And you're married, and you've got two kids. You're going to have two kids, and you're on a farm and still on that farm. Let's pick up and talk about up to present day what you've been doing now. And you're the historical director for.
I'm the director.
Director of the.
But it's just a volunteer job.
Okay, but what a rich. You have a lot of history, a lot of stories to tell. So.
I do.
So we're gonna let you tell a few of them here. So anything you want to talk about?
All right. Yes, we had two daughters, 17 months apart. So yeah,
sure.
And we were young, so we feel like we grew up with the.
And you had you got them in and got them going.
We did, and of course the girls grew up out there on the farm, helping feed cattle and breaking the ice on the pond and.
Oh yeah. What a
childhood. With the calves, and so we feel like that they had a great growing up time too, and my sister and me we were the only grandchildren on that farm.
Ooh.
Their grandparents lived on the farm too, yeah. And we were the only grandchildren. So
that's a recipe for being a little bit spoiled by your grandparents.
Yes, yes, we were.
That's great.
And then our girls grew up there on the farm, and
oh, that's wonderful.
So my grandfather was still living. And and my parents still living, so the girls had a rich
tradition.
Grandparents all around them, they did. And I was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed home with them till they were probably kindergarten and second grade. And the principal at the school, he was my principal when I was in school up there, and then he was the principal the whole time my girls were in school. He called me one morning, and he said, "Can you come up to school a few minutes? Come up here this morning?" And I said, "Well, yes, I can." And I thought, well, he didn't say what he wanted, and I thought, well, he just wants me to read to the kindergarten class or whatever. I went through the girls' books and took three or four little books with me, and what he wanted, the history teacher, the high school history teacher, had the flu.
Ooh.
Well, he wanted me to fill in for her. So I was there for her for about a week, I guess, and that got me started.
That got you hooked.
That got me hooked substitute teaching. So I did that, and it was different than substitutes do now. Sure. I had no lesson plans to go by. I had to make my own.
Sure, sure.
I had to learn their schedule, and you learned which child you could count on to kind of fill you in and help a little, and which ones that you couldn't. And I got so close to those students.
Well, I was going to say, growing up during that era myself, what a great personal time, how you really got to know your teachers, your substitute teachers.
And the substitute teachers, we just taught like the teacher did. I paddled.
And they, yeah, oh yeah.
And I mean,
you loved them same way? I mean, it's just
I did. And I was substituting from kindergarten through high school. I even substituted in the ag building.
Yeah.
So when the coaches, I'd fill in for the coaches sometimes, which...
That's great.
That might not have worked out too well. And filling in for the math teacher was a little different, too, because he knew that I didn't do math much. English was great for me, and history was great for
me. That's great. Well, we got to where what you're calling.
Yes. I loved it. I made $10 a day.
Yeah, and loved
most
every
of those
minute
years. But I was there when the kids were in school, so
well, let's focus on the history now of Livingston, Overton County, the Upper Cumberland, Kentucky. Just talking about things that we have a lot of new people who've moved into this region who don't know yet the history. So we have an opportunity to really give them something to tease them with so they can go learn more.
Yes. Overton County was formed in 1806.
Okay.
And it was taken from lands that had once been Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
And Overton County at the time that it was formed, there was no Putnam County. There was no Clay County, Pickett County, Fentress County. And the Overton County border took in part of what's Scott and Morgan County now.
Mm-hmm.
We were big, and we went all the way to the Kentucky line. Overton County met in the road in front of All Good School. So
is that right?
So that's where
Putnam County was like 1840s, wasn't it? 1854.
It was finalized.
So we were this county was what started out, and then Tennessee weren't many counties in the state after the Revolutionary War.
No,
so it was a huge land.
And most of the counties there's 95 counties in Overton County in Tennessee now. There was 96. For about 30-something years, there was a James County.
Hmm.
Down as part of Hamilton County and down Chattanooga area anyway. But it was only there. I think it went broke. I learned something today.
I did not
There's a lot of people that don't know that.
Huh.
And but by the time all the counties, it was after the Civil War before Clay County and Pickett County were formed. 1870, I think. Fentress County was formed in 1824. And I'd learned somewhere along the way, in order to form a new county, you had to have 200 voting males.
Back then?
Yes.
200 voting males.
Yes. Okay. Of course, women didn't vote.
No.
So they had 200 voting males.
So like I said, we're not going to have time to really go deep, but it's... the history of this whole borderlands and the Kentucky, Tennessee, the Civil War, brother against brother.
Yes.
We've gone through some really, the mining and the agriculture and the rivers. And we were always an isolated area as far as transportation.
Yes.
What, to the railroad? Well, we had the waterways, but the railroads.
The railroads. Of course, there was a railroad came through Cookeville, All Good, on to Monterey.
That's right.
But there was a spur line that opened in, I think, 1898.
Okay.
Came to Livingston. But it just went to Livingston and back is all that it was. And I think it closed in 1933. So it was there 35 years or something, that just a little spur line.
And Livingston's always been a good business town, industry.
Yes.
And
yes.
Throughout
chickens.
Chickens
was a big deal.
I'm just so proud of, as a newcomer, we've been here 16 years, but now I guess we are newcomers, but just how watching Livingston grow and develop your square, your, you know, just
I think that we've had some good leaders in Livingston and Overton County for several years, and the town square is just.
Isn't it wonderful? The
it's just a beautiful
the amphitheater and the park and the it just has served so many a truly public
every
place.
Building around the square is full. There's some great boutiques. There's some great shopping in Livingston.
Oh yes,
it
yes.
Really is.
So let's continue on, and we're less than a minute in this segment, and we'll come back and talk more about the history and leading up and just recollections. I know you've got a bunch of history books here on the table, so we'll come back. But anything before we go to break that you want to – let's just go to break and get ready for the next segment. Talking history and Upper Cumberland and a great way of life on the farm. Back soon. Paula Stover, history, the makings of the Livingston, Overton County, and the Upper Cumberland, and one of the top, not most knowledgeable people I've met to date in 16 years here. I'm trying to be a native. I never will be, but I feel like one, Paula. But let's just pick up and share with our audience today. So many have moved here in the last 10 years or so in the region. Just share stories or anything about Livingston, Overton County, anything that comes to mind.
Overton County has a rich history. We're an old county. We were kind of on a migratory path for people that were, the Revolutionary War soldiers when they started getting their land grants and
That's
land
right.
speculators. When the United States decided to open up Western lands, Tennessee was Western lands at
yes.
that time. Kentucky was Western lands. And Tennessee, of course, was established in 1796. But at the time of the Revolutionary War, there were no white settlers here. We didn't have white settlers
no,
at that time.
No.
And then, so after they started giving land grants and opening up this part in the early 1800s mostly is when they came with their land grants. And I'd started researching several years ago how many Revolutionary soldiers that we might have that settled in Overton County.
Yes.
And I thought, well, we'd find 20 to 25. Well, then COVID came along and everything shut down. And I got my sister interested in it, even though she lives in East Tennessee. So we computered it to death, and we found 50 soldiers.
Wow.
Now we've found four more that can go in their book, and we published a book on the Revolutionary War veterans that settled in Overton County. Some of it, it's in Clay County now, it's in Pickett County, it's in Fentress County, but at the time that they settled there, and at the time most of them died, it was still Overton County.
Wow.
So we did a book on that, and we just turned it over to the museum and let them publish it, and the museum in Livingston gets all the benefits out of the Revolutionary War veteran book.
You know, we were talking off air before we started about the borderlands and this part up through the, you know, Civil War aftermath we've always been, we're not there's the Deep South and then there's the North. We're the Mid-South. The people, the lay of the land, the culture. I mean, we're a great blend of both. We're
yes.
Southern, but we have a good
yes.
history of that.
And Overton County, of course, at the time of the Civil War, it bordered Kentucky. So the men in the upper part of the northern part of Overton County, they went to Kentucky, most of them, and joined the Union
That's
Army.
That's exactly, yeah.
And the southern part of Overton County were mostly Confederate.
Mm-hmm.
And it split families.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of bitterness long after the war. I've always loved history and loved hearing old stories and
sure.
stuff. But we have a very active and have for years historical society in Overton
mm-hmm.
County. And I was a member of that. And I was their president for 6 years, And while I was president, we decided that, well, we needed to clean out the old county records. Were just thrown in a little closed up room in the basement of the old hospital. That's where all the county records were. And they were damp. They were molded. We decided we was going to start a cleanup effort on that. So I volunteered, and we cleaned records for the Overton County Archives for several years.
I bet you learned.
Oh, we read some great stuff.
Yep.
And we got all that cleaned, got them filed, and we do have a nice Overton County Archives now in our new county building. The whole basement is county archives, where anybody can go and look through and find records that they want to. Overton County, during the Civil War, right after the Civil War, there were some, I think it's renegades out of Kentucky that came through and burned their courthouse, which a lot of courthouses did burn.
Yes, they did.
But the guy that had the county records, he was a Kennedy, James Kennedy, I think. He was afraid that would happen. He had hidden the records under his house.
Save the records.
So we have all our original land records from some of them before 1796. Still says North Carolina lands.
Wow. Wow.
And they are in the archives and in good shape to where you can see them. And while I was president of the Historical Society, we decided we wanted to start a museum.
Mm-hmm.
So we started planning for that and looking for grants and any help we could get. And the county was going to do a new jail, Justice Center.
Mm-hmm.
So they let us use the old jail for a museum. And we worked on that for 3 years, I guess. And finally in 2003, in March, we opened up with a quilt show. And we just had the front section of was usable at that time. And we planned and decided, and somebody had told us that we could contact the regional prison in Pikeville, and they would send workers, prisoners,
ooh,
there to work.
Sure.
So we did that, and we had them for, I think they came for 4 days a week, 10 hours a day.
Oh, man.
For 10 weeks. And they transformed their building. They pressure washed everything, and it was filthy.
That was a win-win because they got a chance to do something meaningful and get out. And then you ended
they
up
did.
With them.
They did a great job.
Yeah.
They had a great supervisor with them. We told them if they would come that we would have breakfast for them when they got there. So we talked to all the restaurants and different restaurants and bring breakfast for them every day, and then we had lunch for them every day, and we kept coffee going all day long. They drank a lot of coffee.
Pretty special. Pretty for them. I mean, for anybody, but.
And some of those prisoners, it's been 2 to 3 years, I guess, since I heard from the last one. I would still get letters from some of those prisoners wanting to know how we were doing.
You established relationships.
We did.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
We did. And it was fun. But our museum has been open for 22 years.
Ooh,
and
wow.
There's two floors. We have a lot of, everybody says we have a lot of stuff. We do. We try to tell the story of Overton County.
You say you were able to save a lot.
We were.
You know, you said something earlier. I'm a Mississippian, moved to Tennessee. I mean, moved in 1974. Married Tennessee girl, so I think I'm a, I guess I can say girl, but anyway. But for a short period of time, I made a mistake and went to Charlotte, North Carolina. And what you said, you never think of our areas being out west. And they talk, of course, the 13 colonies, and then they crossed the mountains and went west. And you just don't think about Nashville being a western city and in this whole area, but it's
and the thing that people they think it just gradually moved across the state. It didn't, because waterways is the best way for them to travel, and they traveled on flatboats and canoes and whatever. Davidson County was settled a long time before, and then they started moving back east a little.
I did not know that.
So Davidson County, Bluff City, I think is what it was called at first. Huh. So,
you know. Yeah. Eldon Leslie, a noted Livingston Oldham County and family. It goes back generations too. Leslie's Five and Dime there in Livingston talks about, you know, the timber industry. You would that's waterways is how you got the timber to Nashville.
They took it to the Obie River.
They would ride the Obie River logs.
And the Obie River ran into the Cumberland River and on to Nashville.
So I think Tennessee is one of the top five in the nation inland waterways. That was a major way we grew as a state, was the rail system. And then the rail system came in. And we were one of the last areas to have an interstate. So we've always used the natural. We took advantage of our natural heritage that way until to the interstate and the railroad catch over.
Right.
We've got a couple of minutes left. There's a rich history. I know, and we go back to the Civil War. I know Tennessee Tech a few years ago or several, we had the sesquicentennial of the Civil War. And it was Tech hosted that, and it was fascinating listening to these professors come from all over the country and share the history. I'm sure you attended and were part of all.
Yes.
But just the history of all. And we played a major role in that.
Yes. We have an astronaut that's from Livingston.
You sure do.
And he still visits their museum sometimes, and we get things from him. One of the best things that's going to come up at the museum in October, as part of the Livingston's Halloween, they call it, they have something usually around the square. I think it'll be down at the Central Park this year because the square's kind of messed up right now. But on Saturday night before Halloween, the museum has a night at the museum, and it's history students from Livingston Academy. First year we had 24 students. Last year we had 45 students.
Whoa.
They pick their own character of Overton County, and they portray them at that night. And we had 300 and something people came through last year.
So history,
it is great.
History is alive and well in Overton County.
It is, and it is so much fun.
You know, we've talked about this off air. In economic development, as communities grow, you can't lose your history. You can, but you can't lose your history and your sense of community.
No.
And a lot of communities grow very fast, and over time they've lost. And it doesn't have to be a big place. You can lose your sense of community. So history is a major asset for our region. And you know, I could go all afternoon, but we're out of time. Paul, thank you so much. History is alive and well in Overton County and the Upper Cumberland. Next time, folks.